the 808 of Justice. And welcome to 95BFM, Sylvia Massey.
Oh, hello.
It's so great to have you here. I'm really excited and extremely nervous.
Oh,
so
I like your intro. That could just go on and on.
Right on. That's why I thought, I was like, when I was making it, I was like, let's make it long and annoying. Please don't comment on my mix.
No, it is a true pleasure. I was just saying off air, I'm always astounded at the people that walk through the door here at BFM, and it is amazing to have a woman of your caliber in studio who's just produced and engineered so many amazing records and worked with so many amazing musicians. The list is longer than my arm of people that you work with. We're very curious to have you in here and have a chat with you about your craft.
Oh, I'm excited to talk about it, you know.
What in the first place, what on earth are you doing in New Zealand? Why are you here?
Well, another producer named Greg Haver invited me out to do workshops and to meet some people. And so I've never been to New Zealand, so this is my first time.
You're here for the New Zealand for the third annual Music Producer Series.
That is correct.
Don't you know?
Yes. And I was at the Artisan Awards last night. It was great.
Rad.
Yeah.
And so, like, the best result for you with this series would be hopefully talking to a young person, ideally a young woman, I think, if you look at the numbers of females that are in the game, and that they'll just go, shit, I want to do that. So what did that for you, and what got you in the game?
Well, I had I was stalking an engineer when I was, you know, fairly new at this, and I would sit in a car in the parking lot of a recording studio in San Francisco, and I saw her. Her name's Maureen Droney, and she'd go into the studio and work with Santana and, you know, all these big artists in San Francisco area, and I decided, wow, that's what I want to do. And I started actually in radio. I started as a on-air personality and learned how to use the equipment and did radio production. So I learned how to use the equipment, and the first chance I was able to get into the music studio, I went for it.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, I guess it's hard to say, but it's not like you like went to a school. You went to like the school of doing it.
Yeah, there were no schools for recording music when I was doing it, but there was a broadcast program at the university in California State University, so I was in the broadcast program, and I was really, really involved in the college radio in the town of Chico, California, and so I was on KCSC and KCHO, and you know, I spent a lot of time in college radio. In fact, pretty much knocked off everything else and just did college radio.
Brad,
yeah,
nice. Now you've spent a bit of time in some fairly serious and famous studios. One of them being the Sunset Sound Studio in California.
There's I spent a lot of time at Sound City.
Sound City.
That's right.
Sorry, Sound City.
And in fact, I had the B room there with my own equipment in it. And
you had a knee. You had that knee there, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a kind of the sister to the one in the A room that Dave Grohl got.
Oh, right. I was wondering, because I watched that documentary. And I was like, that Neve, is it?
Yeah, it's not that one, no.
And how much was a Neve back then? Kind of achievable?
Oh, well, you know, when I first fell in love with this old equipment, it was kind of, people were getting rid of it in England. They didn't really find them to be valuable at all.
It's like the digital...
Right, well, the new SSLs were coming in. And was like the new fancy... mixing console, and so these old Neves from the 70s, they weren't really desirable at all, but there's a certain sound that you get with them, so the minute I was able to buy one, I did, and it was still a chunk of money, you know, it was like $60,000.
Yeah.
But I found one in London and had it shipped over to California so I could start working on it, and it was the best investment I made because it, you know, has tripled and quadrupled in value now.
Right on. Yeah.
And it's kept me in business for the last 25 years.
Yes.
You know?
Where is the Neve now?
It's in my studio in Oakland.
What's the name of that studio?
Well, it was Radio Star. Now it's called Studio Divine.
Yeah, that's right.
It's in a church.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that so? All nice wooden. You walked in and there was kind of nice wooden situations and good acoustics already.
Already, you know, churches are built for acoustics, good acoustics, and it was perfect. So, in fact, we decided, and when we got the church, you know, the question was, were we going to just make it into a studio. And we're like, well, it's a church. Why don't we just keep it a church? So we invented, we started our own religion.
Awesome.
Yeah, now there's services on Sunday right in front of the Neve. For real. We have a congregation.
Are you serious?
Absolutely.
Like, wait,
yeah.
I'm confused now. So people that are religious come in and church down when
well,
you're not there, kind of
our
thing?
Our kind of religion isn't
right, got
like
you,
it,
got you.
You know.
I think I understand.
It's now, a good religion.
Though. You've got this wonderful studio. Do you work mostly from there, or do you get the call up and go out on the road and work all over the place?
I love to travel, you know. Mm. Being here is like a dream. And I've spent the last 6 months actually going to, I think I've been in 12 countries over the last 6 months, so I'm ready to go home now.
No doubt.
But I don't mind going into, you know, there's, it's always an adventure coming. I'm looking at your gear right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, this is great. It looks like Darth Vader's chest, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, I love a challenge, so I'll work with whatever gear is available, and I'll build gear if it's not available, you know.
Sweet.
We'll just find it.
And Hannah's, like, actually just on that, if you're in another studio, what do you kind of miss the most, apart from your Neve Prees, if they're not there?
Neve Prees.
Yeah.
I'm glad you know about that, because it's just like one of those, it's kind of a secret.
Really?
Know?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, really?
Maybe, I guess.
Yeah.
I
do a little recording then.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you record the intro?
Yes, I did.
Did you use Neve Prees?
No.
Pretty good job.
Awesome.
All right.
So I was going to ask you your favorite piece of gear, but that's probably your desk.
It is, yeah. I can't deny that. I love microphones, though, and in fact, I'm partial to inexpensive microphones for recording, so I'll use a Shure SM57 or SM58 on pretty much anything.
Sweet.
And everything, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Sweet. That's rad. I guess it's just kind of where you put it, right?
Yeah, and these mics that we're using right now, these
Sennheiser
MD421s on the speech setting.
Yeah?
It's on the S setting and not the M setting. I can tell just by listening to
it. Are you serious?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. You're a beast. You're a beast. I guess we should get into playing a song, and we can try and kind of work this into interesting bands that you've worked with. You've given us a couple of tracks to play.
Yeah.
What should we go with
first?
Well,
you know, we could play this one. I got queued up here if you want.
Oh, yeah. Give us the... here we go.
Well, maybe I'll play it and then we'll talk about it afterwards, because it's kind of a secret little thing.
Perfect.
It's an outtake. Are you ready?
I am.
All right. Oh, here we go. Almost. I got my little laptop in front of me here. And here we go. Thank you.
All right, Sylvia, what just happened?
Well, that's that track actually is Prince with Kate Bush. And I worked with Prince for across the span of 3 years. And this is one of the outtakes from the work that we did together. And it was he took a Kate Bush song and redid all the
purpled it.
The music and added backing vocals, played guitar, so it kind of became a different song. This was just a rough mix off the board, and I hope it didn't blow your speakers up because the bass is super heavy on that. It wasn't a finished track, and it never was released. So
wow,
yeah. So that's a little.
What's it like working with the purple one? Is it like, oh, he's ready to go? We're ready to go, kind of thing.
Oh, you know, it was. Before he would show up in the studio, I'd have everything set up, and anything that he'd ever grab for, I'd have it ready, plugged in. I already had a sound going, and then he'd go for something, you know, like reach for a guitar, and then I would have it in record, and he would dance and play. I mean, it was like having a private show in the studio. He would be spinning on his heels and playing.
You have to remember to do your job, I guess.
Oh well, yeah. He was the most incredible musician I ever worked for, you know, and it was a real delight. It was also very, 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 very difficult working for him.
True.
Because he...
In what way?
Well, he didn't communicate very well. I mean, on purpose, I think. He was...
Wanted the vibe to be there.
Kind of mysterious. And he always really liked to mind fuck people, too, so it was always... Everybody was always on edge. I have some good stories about him, though. There was one time when he'd come into the studio, and he'd sit in this kind of upholstered chair, and his assistant would come up and bring him a stack of magazines, and he would sit there and go through them, you know, but they were women's magazines. I was like, what is he like? Is he looking for fashion ideas or like hair? You know, what's going on? Because he is very androgynous,
oh,
you know.
Big time.
But it turns out he was shopping for girls.
Get presents, kind of.
Right?
Thing.
It's just like, you know, he'd find a good model, you know, in the magazine, an ad, and he'd be like, point at her picture and hand the magazine to Dwayne, his assistant. And they'd fly her in.
Oh, wait, he's shopping. He's talking about the girl doing the wearing the clothes, not
the
clothes.
Yeah, no, not the clothes. No, he's shopping for girls.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And so every...
That's impressive.
Okay, hold on.
That's insane.
Keep it together. But the greatest thing was that he would... he'd have a different date every day because they'd just fly these girls in, you know? And these girls really were excited to be on a date with Prince. But he had... limos outside, so he had a black limo and a white limo, and each limo had a girl waiting in it for him. But then he also had his Beamer in the parking lot, and sometimes he would just ditch everyone and just drive away in his car, and just leave everyone just sitting there wondering what the hell's going on.
Do you think that sort of that era of like that is so rock and roll and so excess? Do you think that that's a thing of the past? That kind of like.
I don't think anyone can do it.
Money.
No one can do it that rad. People probably do it now. But they're just actual.
It's still happening. Are you kidding?
Still happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
you worked with Prince for a few years, but you put Prince on hold to go and work with Tool.
Right.
Was
that right in the beginning? Was that like the first time you got offered Prince?
Well, I'd been working with Tool on and off, and another band that they were associated with, which was called Green Jello, which was a comedy rock act.
And it's a couple, Three Little Pigs, is that the song?
Yeah, because Maynard sang Three Little Pigs on parts of that, and Danny, who was the drummer from Tool, also played on the Green Jello stuff. So anyway, when the opportunity to produce Tool came up, Prince had just asked me if I wanted to move to Minneapolis and be, you know, staff engineer at Paisley Park, because I was really working in LA and, you know, and just kind of not his, like, you know, official staff engineer. But I turned him down because I wanted to produce, you know, and I really love the Tool Tool band. I love their music. So I passed up Prince and never heard from him again after that. That was the end of that relationship.
It's hard to imagine Tool in a comedy band. They seem so serious.
Yeah. Oh, they're so not serious, though.
Right.
I mean, it's, you know, they're a freaking great band, though.
Oh, yeah.
We had a lot of fun recording, and there was a track that I had.
It's
from the first record that I did with them. The record's called Opiate. This track was called Opiate. It's mm-hmm. the title track. And the thing to listen for is, because you don't really know it's there, but you might have heard it if you've heard this track before. It's kind of, you know, the sound, it just, when I listen to it today, it's like, wow, this thing sounds weird.
Yeah, I often wonder what you think
about
that kind of
thing. But if you listen really carefully, like, as soon as Danny breaks into the big, long drum solo, he's playing toms. If you like sit right between the speakers, I used a three-dimensional simulator to put the sound of a telephone ringing in the back of your head. So so you'd be like, you know, you're cranking up the solo and it's just like, oh my God, it's just, you know, you're really rocking out on the solo and the phone's ringing. You're like, fuck, and you turn down the volume, and then, you know, it's like, hey, well, there's no phone. But so that was a little sneaky thing we snuck in there. So I don't know if you'll hear it today, but if you're listening, check out and see if you hear the phone ringing.
Choices always were a problem for you. What you need is someone strong to guide you. Deaf and blind and dumb and born to follow. What you need is someone strong to guide you. Like me. If you want to get your soul to heaven, trust in
Jesus Christ, why don't you come?
Did you hear it? Sylvia heard it.
I
reckon we play these ads real quick. We'll come back with the news and then we'll because we're having such a pleasant time up here, we'll come back with Sylvia Massey and keep talking the talk.
Okay, sweet.
All right, and we're back in the room with Sylvia Massey.
Hello.
Thanks for sticking around.
Sure.
Normally we scare people off by now. It's great. And off air, John was just asking your most favourite. You kind of covered off Prince as the kind of the most everything else-y that you've worked with, like zany and
difficult,
different. Yeah. But who would be your most favourite or fondest memory of working with someone?
My favourite was working with Johnny Cash. Rick Rubin was the producer and I was engineering, and Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers were Johnny's backing band for the record.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Get the best for the best. Yeah.
And then there were guest artists, Mick Fleetwood and Lindsey Buckingham stopped in. Carl Perkins came in. Whoa. June Carter Cash, Marty Stewart. It was like every day I would look in the back of the room to see who was behind me because I'm working at the desk, you know. And it was like another, you know, like, holy shit, you know, who's in the back of the room there? It was crazy.
Was that his last record?
No, it was the second to the last record. Right. It was a record called Unchained, and it won a Grammy for the Best Country Album for
is
the
that,
year.
Is that the, how many Grammys have you had your fingers in, so to speak?
Well, a couple.
Really?
But not yet anything that's for production. But the records I'm involved in do win Grammys.
Right.
So, yeah.
Actually, this is a question I wanted to ask you earlier. How would you describe, like, who is Sylvia Massey in, like, on your business card? Because you probably have a lot of hats these days.
I have a business card right here.
Oh, you do? Really? Can I have a business card? Holy
I
shit.
Do, right? And you'll read it right now. You'll know a lot.
Vibe controller or something like that.
There you go.
Holy shit, this is my
job. Yeah, there you go, right there.
Oh, my God. Oh, radiant being.
Yes. Sylvia Massey, radiant being.
Oh, man, that's great. Perfect. If you don't know,
there's no
you don't
number
know,
or anything on there. It's just
that's all. No, I do. I get to do a lot of different things. You know, I do a lot of educational stuff. I'm still producing records. I do a lot of new production. I'm working on television. I did a MTV Unplugged show, and I'm doing a lot of artwork too and writing. I'm currently writing my second book, which is on vintage microphones. The first book, the Recording Unhinged book, did sold really well. It's sold 10,000 copies so far.
Because you're kind of renowned for sort of an angular approach to recording, right? Like, let's try something a bit different, everyone.
Yeah. I try to buck the trends and get out there and do things completely differently. And
I was just on your website, and we're just having a look through them, burning things, going into a...
Recording in a salt mine.
A salt mine, in the back of a van, speeding van.
One of my most favorite moments recently is recording in a nuclear power plant in the cooling tower.
Yes.
Yeah, set up a whole band in the... The band was Thunder Pussy.
Right on.
And the all-girl band, great band, and we set up in this huge concrete, silos.
Yeah, it's like an empty Simpsons situation.
Exactly. Just like the Simpsons.
That's as close as we've got to nuclear. And did you manage to get a mic at the very top of the silo?
No, but there were some, they flew some drones up there with some cameras and there's a wind gust that go up into these things, because it's, the drones don't do very well in the
Do you have Geiger counters to know that there weren't any?
Well, this particular plant had never gone online. It was built and then abandoned.
Wow.
So it's kind of a really
rad.
Awesome opportunity.
No, I'm done.
And then I recently went into the London Underground and did some recording down in the abandoned Aldwych Station in London. And that was really great. The band was Goddamn, is this band.
Right.
London band.
Sweet.
And that one's coming out this year. It's the recording down there was fantastic too.
Whose idea was that? Theirs or yours?
That's my idea.
You were like, let's take this to the subway.
Oh, yeah.
And what about power and stuff like that? Do you work off a generator with that stuff?
Sometimes with a generator. I've been using a device called, it's Sound Devices. It's a little portable recording thing, battery operated, but it has the largest unit has 8 mic pres in it, so I can bring 8 microphones easily and then double up on that if I want.
Yes.
So it pretty much can record anywhere now.
Far out.
I know, right? It's a whole new world.
Yeah, it kind of makes you start thinking, hey, where could I go?
I know, right? Yeah. There's so many places I want to go.
Yeah, I can imagine. let's take it back to the Johnny Cash situation, because you had a track for us that you wanted to play.
Yeah, you know, during the sessions, Tom was sharing with Johnny some of his original music, Tom's original music, and he sat down and played the song Southern Accents with an acoustic guitar for Johnny. And I was recording it because the recorder was running the whole time.
In the control room or in the library?
Yeah. Well, he was in the live room when I was recording it. So this is an outtake of Tom showing Johnny how to play Southern Accents. And it's just a kind of, it really kind of, I don't know, I miss Tom, you know. I miss Johnny, too. They're all gone. And it just has a different meaning now to me.
Fair enough.
You want to take a listen?
Very much so.
It's not the best recording. This was an outtake, so I'm just warning you up front. It's a little rough, but it's the emotion comes through.
Right.
All right, John. Well, we'll get this out of the way. There is a southern accent where I come from. The young'uns call it country, the Yankees call it dumb. I got my own way talking, but everything is done with a southern accent where I come from. Now that drunk tank in Atlanta, it's just a motel room to me. I think I might go work Orlando if them orange groves don't freeze. I got my own way working, but everything is run with a southern accent where I come from. For just a minute there, I was dreaming. For just a minute, it was all so real. For just a minute, she was standing there with me. And there's a dream I keep having where my mama comes to me and kneels down over by the window and says a prayer for me. And I got my own way of praying, and everyone's begun with a southern accent where I come from.
Wow.
basically.
Let's do that song.
That's a terrific song.
Yeah.
Oh, everybody liked that song that Tom Petty played for Johnny Cash that one.
Isn't that great? You can hear him at the end. Johnny's saying, and June Carter Cash is saying, "Oh, that's a great song." You know.
Yes, Texter, that is an outtake, and I can totally understand why you'd almost be in tears. Yeah. We were just sort of conversating about radical people that have gone, and it's rad to think that those two were mates. That's cool.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Hey, Sylvia, I'm conscious that you apparently you need to be up to Roundhead at 7 p.m.
Oh yeah, so I'm gonna have to take off.
Should we kind of wrap this up? And maybe go out on something recent, this contemporary track.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That you,
there is a song I'd love to play, and it's by an artist named Adrian T. Bell, and he's a Czech artist. And I just finished this record. The album is called Navigator. And this track is called Sleeper Agent. It's a lot of fun.
Just, I know you've just said that, but just before, I feel like we just need to ask the question just before we wrap things up. If you've got any advice for any people just looking to get their start or foot in the door in this sort of production engineering world, what would that piece of advice be?
Well, first of all, you have to absolutely love what you do. And don't get into this to make a lot of money. Because it may be 10 years before you actually start making money, you know. So just do it because you love it, and do it and do as much recording as you possibly can. If you're producing, work with as many musicians as you can find. Help them to realize their ideas. It's good to have your own little recording set up so that you can record in your own flat, you know. And just get your discography together and just... expect that there will be a lot of time when you're going, damn, you know, is it ever going to happen? But you're going to give it time. Yeah. Okay. Patience. Yeah.
Also, while we've got you here, can you do a voice ID for our radio station?
You bet.
We're at 95 BFM and
Is it the B or is what?
B.
95 BFM.
All right. Should I just do it right now?
You can like say whatever you want.
Super
you
sexy. I can do super sexy.
Don't overthink it.
All right. Should I put my name in it?
Yes, of course.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Everyone shut up. Here we go. Hi, it's Sylvia Massey. You're listening to 95 BFM.
Yes. All right. Now, Adrian T. Bell, Sleeper Agent.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you so much for coming up.
My
was Tools of the Trade.